I'm going to read this poem. Two Voices Not Without Fear, written and submitted by Marcia Perlman, and that's me. I'm the author of the poem. A school bulletin flyer invited music, dance, and theater students to audition for an innovative high school in Manhattan. I tensed when performing in public, but was excited when accepted to the High School of Performing Arts, with dreams of becoming a professional pianist. Dad squashed the application. A very bad idea, he fumed. If the local school is good enough for 2,000 neighborhood kids, it's good enough for you. I grabbed the application from him. My mom signed and quickly mailed it. Dad never came to any of my performances. Leonard Bernstein was my mentor. I graduated from university, married, and accepted a teaching position in Spanish Harlem. When my father heard this news, he shouted, "No child of mine will work there and imperil her safety. You don't know what you're doing by going into a neighborhood like that. It's the worst area in New York. I won't permit it. I'm going to tell the Board of Education to fire you." I taught at that school for 4 years. And many years later, and another application, I was jubilant, phoned again, hoping for a different response. "You're the first to know," I said. "I just received a priority letter from Washington. I've been awarded a Fulbright to Great Britain for next year." His paused response, "What are you running away from?" I was speechless. "I'm not running away. I'm running toward. And you're welcome to come to visit." Nothing further was said. I packed my clothes, purchased a plane ticket, and flew to London. The following year, I began accepting invitations to teach abroad.
Courage, by Anne Sexton, submitted by Ellen Lavador, and read by Kelly Logidice and Scott Yeomans. It is in the small things we see it. The child's first step, as awesome as an earthquake. The first time you rode a bike, wallowing up the sidewalk. The first spanking when your heart went on a journey all alone. When they called you a crybaby, or poor, or fatty, or crazy, and made you into an alien. You drank their acid and concealed it.
Later, if you faced the death of bombs and bullets, you did not do it with a banner. You did it only with a hat to cover your heart. You did not fondle the weakness inside you, though it was there. Your courage was a small coal that you kept swallowing. If your buddy saved you and died himself in so doing, then his courage was not courage, it was love. Love as simple as shaving soap.
Later, if you have endured a great despair, then you did it alone. Getting a transfusion from the fire, picking the scabs off your heart, and wringing it out like a sock. Next, my kinsman, you powdered your sorrow. You gave it a back rub, and then you covered it with a blanket, and after it had slept a while, it woke to the wings of the roses and was transformed.
Later, when you face old age and its natural conclusion, your courage will still be shown in the little ways. Each spring will be a sword you'll sharpen. Those you love will live in a fever of love. And you'll bargain with the calendar. And at that last moment, when death opens the back door, you'll put on your carpet slippers and stride out.
The Guest House by Rumi, submitted by Phyllis Herman. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
August in America, written by me, Anne Morrill. In a dark gilded room in a fool's gold fortress 45 miles west of the sleepless city, a beefy old tot places his purple finger on a small glowing monitor and bleeds Russian bots. It's August in America, and August, the old man imagines himself. His mind's eye flickers in the shadows, recalling the barks of septic red-topped fanatics. He gets up, restless and rabid again, scrolls through the tweet after tweet after tweet, 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 tweet. Sad that in the dark he cannot see his own reflection, he lifts the bloated digit, ready to blot out the world again. In a dark kitchen, in a tidy brick house in the American Southwest, an old woman sits in the dark, her mouth close to the receiver of a flip phone as she whispers for guidance, her free hand squeezing a young boy's arm. It's August in America, 6 months into the pendejos run. As the knocks grow louder and louder at the front door, she slows her breath, lets her memory do the rest. She knows her A number, she murmurs into the wire. They cannot enter without an orden judicial. She trembles, places the open line carefully into her pocket. In her mind's eye, her daughter is driving home from the hotel. Her grandson will soon be in her mom's arms. Peering at her reflection in his eyes, she lifts him to a chair, puts her finger to his tiny lips, gives him a soft kiss. As she turns and walks slowly, steadily, towards the din in the night, she begins to build her imposing wall of silence.
Start Close In, submitted and read by Scott Yeomans, written by David White. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way of beginning the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To hear another's voice, to hear another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes an intimate, private ear that can listen, really listen to another. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take.
This poem called On the Pulse of the Morning was written by Maya Angelou, one of my heroes. She wrote it for William Clinton's first presidential inauguration in 1993. A rock. A river. A tree. Host to species long since departed, marked the mastodon, the dinosaur, who left dried tokens of their sojourn here on our planet floor. Any broad alarm of their hastening doom is lost in the gloom of dust and ages. But today, the rock cries out to us clearly, forcefully, come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny. But seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place down here. You, created only a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spilling words, armed for slaughter. The rock cries out to us today, you may stand upon me, but do not hide your face. Across the wall of the world, a river sings a beautiful song. It says, come, rest here by my side. Each of you a bordered country, delicate and strangely made proud, yet thrusting perpetually under siege. Your armed struggles for profit have left collars of waste upon my shore, currents of debris upon my breast. Yet today, I call you to my riverside. If you will study war no more, come, clad in peace, and I will sing the songs the Creator gave to me when I and the tree and the rock were one. Before cynicism was a bloody sear across your brow, and when you yet knew you still knew nothing. The river sang and sings on. There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river and the wise rock. So say the Asian, the Hispanic, the Jew, the African, the Native American, the Sioux, the Catholic, the Muslim, the French, the Greek, the Irish, the rabbi, the priest, the sheikh, the gay, the straight, the preacher, the privileged, the homeless, the teacher. They hear, they all hear the speaking of the tree. They hear the first and last of every tree speak to humankind today. Come to me here beside the river. Plant yourself beside the river. Each of you, descendant of some passed on traveler, has been paid for. You who gave me my first name. You, Pawnee, Apache, Seneca, the Cherokee Nation, who rested with me, then forced on bloody feet, left me to the employment of other seekers, desperate for gain, starving for gold. You, the Turk, the Arab, the Swede, the German, the Eskimo, the Scot, you, the Ashanti, the Yoruba, the Crew, bought, sold, stolen, arriving on the nightmare, praying for a dream. Here, root yourselves beside me. I am that tree planted by the river, which will not be moved. I, the rock, I, the river, I, the tree, I am yours. Your passages have been paid. Lift up your faces. You have a piercing need for this bright morning dawning for you. History, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived. But if faced with courage, need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon this day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream. Women, children, men, take it into the palms of your hands, mold it into the shape of your most private need. Sculpt it into the image of your most public self. Lift up your hearts. Each new hour holds new chances for a new beginning. Do not be wedded forever to fear, yoked eternally to brutishness. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change. Here, on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look up and out and upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country, no less to Midas than the mendicant, no less to you now than the mastodon then. Here, on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes and into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
That's it. There are no more poems. We are entering into the gratitude part. So this is where you get to put your hands together, whoop, give a whatever kind of call or shout you want to make. But here's how we're going to do it. As I introduce each group, please stand and receive our gratitude, and then stay standing. All who wrote poems for today. Woo-hoo! All who submitted poems, read or not. All who read poems today. All who made music today. Woo-hoo! All who created our poem pamphlet. That would be Linda Thornton and anyone who gave her a hand. Our sound engineer, Don Price, who should already be standing. All who played their, that's already covered that. All who let poems into their hearts today. And all who suffered with me as we get ready for this.